Man, it won't be long, will it? Looking forward to that day. Well, it's good to have, again, an emphasis upon the Heritage Christian Academy, Ministry of the Church, and just reminding our church about the investment that we make into our kids' lives as well as kids in the community, that the school doesn't pay for buildings or pay electricity bills. It's we merely take in the tuition and try to pay for our teachers, and it's a blessing to put into a ministry, and we always want to be givers, not takers. And I appreciate Brother Tramar, appreciate his he's compassionate, and he's a giver, and he's almost been here 2 years. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Just a couple of months away from being 2 years, and him and Miss Tramar make a good team. We kid him a lot about that his wife is more valuable than him, but I publicly want to state that that could be said of all of us. Honestly, we all married up. I noticed I'm just bragging on Miss Cindy Biddle the last couple of weeks during the anniversary Sunday and the big days that Miss Cindy, I'm sorry, making you good. Miss Cindy was up here just working and working and working and making Brother Chad look good. Amen. So I think, and we could say that with you guys as well, many of you who worked the extra time. And so we appreciate our staff, absolutely appreciate Brother Scott, but we appreciate the wives as well and the work they do. Amen? All right. Brother Scott's going to preach to us.
Thank you.
Filter.
This thing's like a lockbox right here. I love how the Lord leads the service and how songs come up. I'm sitting in my seat, brought me back about 25 years ago. The song that was sung by you all just a second ago goes perfectly with the message. It really does. I remember about 21 years ago, I was sitting where Brother Abrams is, had a church just like this, and a special lady came up to sing a song, and she was wearing this white dress that they made at the tent factory. But she was wearing a white dress, and she was rather healthy, big, rather healthy. And she sang "Love Lifted Me," and I thought, that's amazing. That's great. I was sitting there by myself. My friends were in the back doing something, and I was sitting there, and I listened to the song. It was great. "Love Lifted Me," and I thought, okay. Then a really skinny man got up right after and saying "It Took a Miracle." And I sat where Brother Abrams was, and I was laughing. I'm like, it would take a miracle to lift you up, but God can do anything. And then I felt this pull on my ear because I was just shaking, laughing so hard. And it was my father. And but I was listening to the music, and I thought it was great, but it would have to take a ton of love to lift her away. But anyways, what a blessing. I'm so excited to preach tonight. I know that I just want to get to know you. There's some of you that I don't know real well. Even after 2 years, we still don't know you. And so it's kind of like that young man that started dating. Now, I know we don't allow you all to date, legally. You can look at me. It'd be all right. And this one boy decided that he liked this girl and was going to take this girl out, but he went to the girl and said, "Hey, would you go out?" And she said, "No, I can't. You're going to have to ask my dad." And he said, "Well, I guess I'll ask your dad. When can I do that?" She said, "Well, Monday night. You can come over to the house and we'll have some supper and you can ask my dad if he can take me out on a date all by herself." Now, we don't date, right? Okay. Thank you, Tyler. And so Monday afternoon comes rolling around and the boy goes to the pharmacist and he decides to get some, to the little CVS store to get some chocolate. He said, I need a pound of chocolate. I need 2 pounds of chocolate and then I need 3 pounds of chocolate. And I want them wrapped individually, separately." And he said, the first pound of chocolate is if I get to go to the house and my girlfriend sits with me on the front porch. Isn't that sweet? Go ahead, shake your head, Reagan. You'll be fine. And the second one is if she'll hold my hand, I'll give her that 2 pound box of chocolate. And he said, but the third one is if she kisses me on the jaw, I'm gonna give her that 3 pound box of chocolate. And so they wrapped it all up. He got it ready to go. He shows up at the house and he knocks on the door. He gets inside and he smells something. He's from Texas. He smells amazing fried chicken. You know, not just that normal fried chicken, that fried chicken that's dipped in the buttermilk and then put into the flour and then dipped again into buttermilk again for the second time. You know, double immersion, some of you Baptists. And fried deep, nice and crispy. And then they saw that and saw that on the plate and table. And they had mashed potatoes on there, the little hunky ones, Brody, the ones that had the hunks in them. The little, And he saw that and the corn on the cob. He thought, man, this is awesome. And so they sit down and they get ready to eat. And the dad asked the boy to pray. And the boys just started praying. And he prayed like no other. He prayed like an old Southern gospel tent revival preacher. God bless this food. It's amazing. Bless, I thank you for the blood of Christ. And he prayed about everything. Thank you for good godly parents. He started foaming at the mouth and he started sweating real bad. Oh, thank you, Lord. And the girlfriend prayed for 30 minutes. And the girlfriend, after he got done, he said, bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. The girl looked at him. She said, I didn't realize that you were such a good prayer. And he looked back at her. He said, I didn't realize that your dad was the pharmacist. Thank you for the sympathetic. For some of you, I appreciate that. For you educated ones, it'll get you later. Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37 tonight. And I got a big clock up here. And I don't know how many times I was told today to use a filter. This thing is like a lockbox. My daughter down here said, my Stephanie, my third child, and my Sunday school class understands what I'm talking about. My third child, she said, if I tell a story about her tonight, it's going to cost me $20. $20. And Miss Sharon down here said, she's very careful now in what she says. And she told me to keep it short. But I have a clock right here at 6:33, so we're going to be good. And then Samantha said she wouldn't talk to me for a year if I told a story about her. So I'm not, jingle bells, I said that for them. Some of you don't get the code words that we have today. But I did have one person that said, I don't mind you using me as an example today. In pulpit speech, as we learn how to preach, you have to use names to keep people's attention. But Ms. Donya Wiggins said I'm able to use her as an example today and that she would not be angry with me, which is a blessing. Isn't that awesome? So we'll see if that fits into the message tonight. But Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37. I am excited to preach tonight. I tell you, there's a couple of messages that I wanted to preach, but God said no. And I wanted to preach them, and I've never been fired from a job. And if I did preach what I wanted to preach, I'd probably get fired. But hey, if you're going to get fired, you might as well go out with a bang, right? Thank you. Yeah, that's one, Mr. Jacoby. You own your own business, so you don't know, no reason to laugh. Anyway, God said no, and so I'm not going to preach that tonight. But I am going to preach what God told me to, and I'm excited about it. Genesis chapter number 37, and we're gonna do it because how many of you guys like to watch movies? You like to watch movies, do you? Yeah, some of you do, and I know most of you do. How many like to watch a movie more than once? Yeah, and you guys get mad, you people with your hands up, you get mad when the preacher preaches a message a second time. Well, I heard that about 10 years ago. Sometimes we need it again. I've seen the movie Hoosiers at least 100 times. Jimmy Chipwood, the main guy that shoots the basket at the end, he says 17 words in the whole movie, and I know every one of them. Last three is, I'll make it. I'm not going to go, but it's good to review sometimes. And I know tonight as we go through these verses that you're going to know what's happened, and you know the end of the story before we even get there. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to take the verse where he's at in life, then we're going to go to his deathbed, and we're going to see where he dies. But we're going to find out what happened between the two areas, between the birth of him and him living his life and the death of him. In Genesis chapter number 37, verse number 35. Verse number 35. Let me set the scene for you. This is Jacob here, and Joseph has been eaten by a wild beast. Not really, but it's what he thought. It's amazing how sometimes we take things and miscrude them and think that something happened that really didn't happen. Let's be careful that we don't do that. The boys never said the evil beast devoured him. He just made that in his own mind. He said it had to have happened. So Joseph is gone, and now Jacob is here, and this is what he says in verse number 35 of chapter number 37. And all his sons, all 11 of them, and all his daughters, we don't know how many there were, rose up to comfort him. They were going to comfort Jacob because of the loss of Joseph. But he, being Jacob, refused to be comforted. Don't have time to go into that tonight, but when somebody's trying to be a blessing to you, you need to accept the blessing. I'll look down. Sometimes when they teach you to look at the wall, don't look at their eyes. You know, in the Old Testament, they said if you look at them, they wanted to come up and bite them with their teeth. Remember Jeremiah's days? Yeah, that's awesome. he said, he refused to be comforted, and he said this. This is what he said. You ready? Now, most of you have not said this yet. Notice I said yet. For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. He decided on this day that there was nothing going to take away from him that he was going to go to his death mourning the death of his son. I'm deciding to be in the position that I'm in, and nobody's going to comfort me, and nobody's going to change my mind. Sounds just like a man, doesn't it? Go ahead, women, shake your head. We're in the house of God. They can't get you while they're here. He not only says it one time, but he says it twice. Now take your Bibles and just flip a couple of pages, because I know sometimes it's difficult to flip through the Bible, but go to Genesis chapter 42. Love hearing those pages, and I love seeing those iPads being flipped. The swiping going on. First chapter number 42, verse number 38. Let me set the scene for you. Joseph, he thinks, is still dead. The boys come back after the famine in the land, and they come to Dad, and they said, Dad, we need to go back and get some food because we're going to die. And if we don't get food, all of our families are going to be dead. But the man up there said that we need to bring Benjamin. And we have to leave Benjamin there to prove that we're not spies and that we're not lying to everyone. So they go to Dad and say, Dad, we need Benji. Reuben, even a couple verses, we don't have time to go back. Reuben even said, Dad, let us have Benji. I'll let you have my two boys in exchange if we don't bring Benji back. Now, who's going to, well, you can kill my two sons, your two grandboys. You can kill them if we don't bring Benji back. What? Reuben, crazy. Reuben, you have some crazy people in your family? We're not going to, don't answer that out loud. You're probably sitting beside some of them. So Jacob comes in chapter number 42 and verse number 38. Look what he says. And he said, Jacob, my son, Benjamin, shall not go down with you. He's not going to go. For his brother is dead. Now, who's that? Yeah, you guys are so smart. A plus. And he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Jacob is intent on going to the grave. He's intent on going to the grave not being a very happy man. I've decided that I'm going to be this way, and I'm going to be this way until I die. And no, I'm not going to send you Benji. And I don't care if all of our family dies because we starve to death. Benji's not going. The last time, Joseph's gone and he's dead. Take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. What a great story so far. Two verses of one man's life. Let's see what happens when he dies. Hebrews chapter 11. And we all know, since we're going to Hebrews chapter 11, that this chapter is the what? The Hall of Faith chapter. This man, it made it to the Hall of Fame. You don't believe me? Look at verse number 21. Look at verse number 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Not a person in this room tonight, if you just would have read Genesis 37 and just would have read Genesis chapter 40 and saw that he was a miserable man, never would have guessed that he would have made it to the Hall of Faith. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be mad. I refuse to be comforted. Don't talk to me. Don't try to love on me. I don't care how many grandchildren. And if you look back, it says every morning they tried to get up in there and do that. And he said, no, 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 no. I'm going to die. You ask me for Benji? No. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to gray hairs. I'm going to go to my grave. Leave me there. But then in Hebrews chapter number 12, chapter number 11, verse number 21, he said, by faith, Jacob. How did he get there? How was he at from one extreme, and then later on in life he gets mentioned in the Hall of Fame? Well, because of Genesis chapter number 48. So go back there. Now you know the beginning of his life. Now you know what happened to him while he was living. Now you know what's happening to him while he's dying. What was the change? Genesis chapter number 48. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, tonight I pray that you help us. Lord, take this example of Jacob, Lord, and I pray that in the next 19, 20 minutes, Lord, that you would influence our lives to learn, Lord, that we need to bless our children. In every way, shape, and form, Father, these young people are worth it. And Father, I pray that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter number 48. Verse number 1, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Now, teenagers, I want you to remember verse number 2, because at the very end, in just a short 17 minutes, you're going to see that being sitting is something that's very important. He sat on the edge of the what? On the bed. Verse number 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Thank God for God's blessing in our life. Don't ever forget and don't ever take for advantage of how God has blessed you in your life. We have so many things to be thankful for. We get into lollygrums and we get upset and we get mad and we get down and we get depressed because of the circumstances that we're in. But we forget about the blessings of God. Hey, Jacob was sitting there on the edge of his bed and he said, God blessed me there. Listen, I want God to bless us here at Heritage. I want God to bless us here at Hazlett. Listen, we need to grow up our children and live our lives knowing that God has blessed us and we need not forget about it. The reason why Jacob showed up in Hebrews chapter number 11 was because he did not forget the blessings of God. Listen, we have all kinds of things to be thankful. It'd be good for us sometimes to shut off the TV and shut off the iPads and the game time and sit down together as a family and go over the things that God has blessed you with. Make your children tell you what things God has blessed you with. What a blessing. Hey, dads, don't ever be ashamed to tell your children where you came from. I'm so glad I had a great father that raised me in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I am so happy that we have stories where we didn't have milk and we didn't have things at our house and God had to provide those things. What blessings that we have. Listen, don't let our children live life without knowing the blessings that God has given you. He said, God blessed me at Luz. He remembered the place, verse 4. And he said unto him, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give the land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Verse number 5. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. He said, I have not met Ephraim and Manasseh, but they are my children. Why are they his? Because they're his grandboys. He said, they're mine just like Reuben and Simeon are. Listen, Heritage Baptist Church, these young people on this side, they're yours just like your own kids. You need to love them like you do your own kids. Now listen, I understand that we're not taking anything to heaven physically, but we can take our families. And we are individual families come together at Heritage Baptist Church so we can love each other and be a great big giant family with a bunch of crazy uncles and crazy aunts. They weren't his children, but they were his grandchildren. He said, they're just like mine. I'm going to love them just like mine. Hey, listen, there's some kids on this side and they're scattered through here that need your love. More than you think, well, they don't need mine. They don't even know my name. I'm just an older folk here in the congregation. No, they need you. Hey, he said, they're mine just like you, and I'm going to bless them just like that. Look at verse number 6. And thy issue, which thou begettest after him, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way. When there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is, name that word, Bethlehem. I don't have time to go into that, but oh my soul, that's some good stuff right there. If you're a preacher boy, want to be preacher boy, you ought to look that up and see what that means. It's amazing. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Well, you never seen them before. Who are these two kids? Look what happens. and Israel, verse number 9, and Joseph said unto the father, thy, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. I remember preaching a few years ago, we went to this meeting, it was a revival, and some old man came up to me and said, you're going to have to pay for those. I said, excuse me? I don't know what he's talking about. He said, you have to pay for those kids. And it was Silas and Samantha and Stephanie, just beautiful kids. They take after their mother. He said, there's no denying that those three are yours. You're going to have to pay for them for the rest of your life. I really didn't know how to take that. I said, oh, great. Hey, they're my three children. Joseph had two boys. They had never met Grandpa before. And now these two young men were going to have to stand in front of an older man. Now, you guys on this side, you like older people, don't you? You better say yes, because there's a bunch of them over there. Yeah, you do. Go ahead and shake that head. Uh-huh. You like your grandpa, Josh Crawford? Yeah, he gets loud, don't he? I like his voice. Does he embarrass you sometimes? Ah, you just a little shoulder shrug. Your mom's back there, your dad's right here. Your grandpa's listening online. Don't worry, you'll be all right. Hey, he said, these are mine. He said, Manasseh and Ephraim, bring them over here. Let me look at them for a second. Let me see. All right? Look at verse number 8. Verse number 9. And Joseph said unto him, thy father, these are thy sons, whom God has given me in this place. Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age. I mean, he couldn't see real well, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. You guys love that, don't you? Come on, work with me a little bit, because I can't look at these guys over here. But when you have a granny and a grandpa, listen, I got married to Sharon, and we kissed when we got married, but before that I went to Russia, and I didn't tell her this, but I kissed a woman there. She was a redhead woman, about 80 years old, and every time we went into that Radiskovich, which is in Russia, she would kiss me right on the mouth, Brody. She had zero teeth in her mouth, but I guess I was her type. I really don't know. I'm sorry, Sharon. I really want to apologize in front of everyone. And I know you're turning a shade of red, but kind of like the color of her hair. She was amazing. But she would seek me out. You guys know that. When you go down the hallway and an older person's coming down, you're like, oh boy, I got to go this way. And you duck into the donut room and shove a donut in your mouth. Come on, Aiden, look at me now. Yeah. But I tried to dodge her every Sunday, but she coming right at me, man. I mean, I was a hot-looking guy. I was kind of like Abram's son, you know, just nice and buff and stuff, you know. You're welcome for that. I need $5 after church. She'd come after me. I was like, oh, no. Hey, Grandpa said, bring him over here. Let me kiss him. Let me embrace him. You guys ever be held by Grandma and Grandpa? And you're like, okay, this is awkward. It's a little over 2 seconds. Come on, Now, I've seen the Day and the Reed clan. They're a huggy group. Look at you can hear them over there. We are a huggy group. They're a huggy group. You know, Noah, right? Yeah, when you hurt your foot and you're still milking that thing? Okay. He said, bring him over here. I want to kiss him. I want to hug him. Let me tell you something. I'm not an advocate, and pastor is not that kind of person. He goes around and hugs everybody. But I know for me, when I go home after a Sunday, and I've got little marks of makeup right here on my suit jacket, and maybe some on this side, it's from all the older women, especially Miss Ivy. She's a hugger. And I'll go home and look at Sharon and say, Sharon, look at that little mark right there. That's from Miss Ivy. It's her makeup from her chin. Come on, work with me. Some of you ain't had a hug in a long time. Go hug somebody. Y'all look at me like, what in the world's going on? I said, Sharon, you ain't got to worry about anything if there's makeup here, but if there's lipstick up here, then you got to worry. But if there's little makeup, that's just from the older ladies. I'm the huggable type. Some of you ain't. Well, get fat and you can be huggable. Don't be afraid to love on your children. They're your children. I remember sitting at that same meeting. I had Stephanie on my lap, and the guy said, don't ever take those times for granted. They'll be too old where they'll sit on your lap. And guess what? Samantha doesn't sit on my lap anymore. Because she wants her daddy to breathe. That's all I'm going to say. That cost me $20 right there. I love it. It was so worth it. I would have paid $35. Little Clyde, you better love on them. Day Reed, Clyde, you better love on your little ones. Hey, he said, bring them over here. I want to kiss them. I want to hug them. Look what happens in verse number 11. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. Verse 12. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Now, I try my best when I teach these young people in Bible class, and if you ask them, and I'm not saying this out of a prideful thing. If you ask them what their favorite class is, most of them, 90% of them, would say what? Bible. Because I want to make the Bible alive to them. I've read the scripture hundreds of times in my life, but I want to make it alive to them. Can you picture Jacob on the edge of his bed, can't hardly see, been living a miserable life all this time, saying, I'm going to go to my grave and die. And then he finds this Ephraim and Manasseh, who he's never met before. And dad brings him in there, puts him between his knees. And Joseph leaves and goes to the side and bows himself to the earth. You got the picture? Look what happens. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim and Manasseh, in his right. Now this is important. Now, I know it's going to sound redundant when you get in there, but it's very important. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel, left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his hand, his right hand, and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger. And he left hand, and his left hand he put on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittily, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, and the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude amidst the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. Now, I want to set the scene for you. I have just a short time, and then I'm going to apply it to your life, and then we're going to sit down and have an invitation, and the altar is going to be full. Joseph looked at his dad and said, Dad, you got it wrong. You got your wrong hand on the wrong boy. Now, Joseph knew who was older. Jacob very well knew what was going on. He understood the order of the birthright. Do we need to go back to Jacob and Esau? We don't have time because we have just about 8 minutes. He understood very well who was supposed to get the birthright, who was supposed to get the blessing. But he was blind and he couldn't see, and he had his right hand and his left hand. And Joseph got up off his face when he was bowed to the earth and got up and said, oh no, this cannot be happening. My dad has lost it. He's blessing the wrong child. It's getting good, ain't it? Look what happens. Shall we just close it down right here? No, we want to see what happens, right, Aiden? Yeah, come on, I like it. I got Aiden's permission. Verse number 17, and when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim and displeased him, he held up his father's hand to remove it. Verse 18, and Joseph said unto his father, not so! Be careful, young people, and I don't have time to go into it, to tell your father not so. That's a whole different story, and I want to get going there, but clock's too fast. Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father what? Let me hear you. I know you got a short time. Come on, you'd be all right. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also should become a people. He also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. And his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Verse number 22, moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Let me summarize tonight. Sitting on the edge of his bed, blessing two boys. You want to be blessed? Look up in here. I'm done. You close your Bible. You want to be blessed? I'm talking to the kids right here who I'm looking at. That's why I have eye contact with you, so I'm not looking over here. Do you want to be blessed? Who do you want to be blessed by? Well, the spiritual answer is Jesus. Did you learn that in kindergarten? That's a good answer. Jesus. Jesus is my answer. And that is the answer to everything. But we know that God, you want to be blessed by God. But who do you want to be blessed by in this auditorium? Your parents? Noah, would you like to be blessed by your grandparents? Would you like to be blessed by somebody over here on this far side? Ephraim and Manasseh had no idea who this old man was. Our father Abraham, our father Isaac, our father Jacob, these are the patriarchs of Christianity. Ephraim and Manasseh had no idea that they were slaying, bowed down on the edge of the bed with one of the patriarchs of the world that changed life, our lives as Christians. Grandparents, older folks, Heritage Baptist Church, you have no idea what a blessing you could be to some of these. You have no clue the change of life that you could have for some of these. At the sports banquet, I talked about Pastor and how we always get these guys. And when I was younger, I had these preachers come in, and they were retired Hell's Angels, and they had a life of drugs and a life of all kinds of bad things. And I said, I got saved. Praise God that you got saved. That's a wonderful thing. And it's a fantastic thing. And I nailed someone to a tree with a nail gun. That's awesome. But let me tell you something. Listen, kids. The people that you ought to pattern your life after are the ones that didn't stray from God. Not for a year, not for 2 years, not for 10 years, not for 2 days. God wants to bless you, but you got to put yourself in the position to be what? How did the boys get to the end of the bed? How'd they get to the end of the bed? Their daddy brought them there. How'd you get here today? Your daddy brought you here. Well, no, I didn't. I rode with my grandma. Okay, work with me. Some of them are so technical, these kids. Yeah, I rode my grandma. They get all sassy. I walked here. How'd you get to here? I don't have any idea. It's amazing to me how God brings us all together. Some people born in Colorado, some born in Michigan, I'm born in Michigan. Somehow, someway, God has us here at Heritage Baptist Church in Hazlet, Texas, bowed at the knee of a church here in Hazlet to be blessed by God. Grandparents, older folks, patriarchs of the church, charter members of the church, the Wiggins. Now, I'm just going to say this. The Wiggins want to be charter members of the church. We've learned this in staff meeting. There's a little bit of bitterness there. Maybe an inside joke. Maybe I'm going to be in trouble, but Ms. Donya said it was going to be fine. They ought to be honorable mention charter members of the church. No, they weren't here, and they didn't get their picture, and they get signed, that little thing. But can we take a vote? Okay, never mind. I tried, but it. Ephraim and Manasseh were blessed. I want to die. I hate my life. It's so horrible. I'm going to say it again. Benji's gone. It's over. My life is over. I'm going to die and go to the grave. And then you get over there to Hebrews, chapter number 11. We don't see Joseph. We don't see Ephraim. We don't see Manasseh. But we see Jacob. And Jacob is not doing what he's doing in verse number 2, is he? Remember what I told you to listen to? What was he doing in verse number 2? He was sitting on the edge of his bed. But in Hebrews, when God gave him everything and God let the promise come through, he was leaning where? On his staff. Listen, let me encourage you, Heritage Baptist Church. Finish well. We got young people that are depending on you to finish well. I know there are times that we got to sit down. I know there are times where it gets hard. But listen, at the end of the life, these people, these young people need you to be standing for God. Well, I don't really matter. And it doesn't matter if I backslide. It doesn't matter if I go to church. It doesn't matter if I'm unfaithful. I have the same thing with my mom and dad. My dad was a race car driver, and he drove on Saturday night and wouldn't go to church. My mom was a nurse. She woke us up, all 5 kids, on Sunday morning and went to church. My dad slept in because he didn't go to church. He's out racing all night. My dad got saved, traded the race car for a church bus. We all went to church together. Listen, I was so thankful for a good mom and dad who decided to change the trademark history. My father changed history in our life because he decided that he needed God in our lives. And let me tell you something. God has blessed my father with 13 grandchildren. God has blessed us here at Heritage with an amazing group of young people. We have to stand. We have to finish strong. We have to bless the children. You do matter. My mom and dad don't go to church to this day. I can't tell you that they were in church. I went home last year and I talked to my dad. I said, Dad, what's going on? I said, you don't go to church every week. You taught us to go to church. We went to church. You did so great. He said, I got to go to church at 103 Brook Forest Drive, Belt, South Carolina, 29627. Well, that's your home address. That's not where the church is. I said, Daddy, where do you tithe? He said, I tithe in my shoe boxes underneath my bed. I said, great, I'll be visiting there before I leave. You got to pay your back tithes. Now, that's a whole different sermon. But I told him, I said, I don't want Silas, Samantha, and Stephanie growing up knowing they have a grandma and grandpa that don't go to church anymore. You matter. You matter to them. They need your blessing. They need you to sit up on the edge of your bed. They need you to stand on your sword. They are your staff, and they need you to be there. Kids, do you need them? I don't need anybody. I'm a strong 18-year-old, good-looking man, Tyler says. You need them way more than that they need you. But you got to put yourself in the blessing. Notice this, and I'm done. Did Jacob, in the Bible, did Moses ever record Jacob blessing the 11 others? Does it record Jacob blessing Joseph? But I'm telling you, it gives a whole chapter where he records that he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. Hold on, I'm done. Hang with me. Get on the edge of your seat. You know how a movie ends at the end? I'm done. I am so thankful and so grateful. Listen to me. That I can allow someone else to bless my children. Well, I'm the parents and I'm the one that blesses them. I'm going to do that. Listen, there's no greater joy in life to realize that somebody else is going to bless my children. Every one of us want our children to live a great life and to be awesome and have everything that they need. But man, I'll tell you, when somebody else invests in my children, it makes me happy. You can't be everything to your children. You got to have help. When we came over 2 years ago and sat in front of Brother Crawford, listen, I wasn't listening. I wasn't looking for a job. My record and Sharon's record is fine. We get a job anywhere. We need to get a job. But I was looking for a church to help me raise my family. I needed a Brother Jesse. I couldn't be the school administrator and the youth pastor and the assistant pastor and the dad. I couldn't be all that. I need him. My Samantha needs Miss Julie. These kids need you. We all need each other to go in the same direction. And let me tell you something, when you see that somebody else blesses your children, it makes you so happy. Let them. Let them. Don't give up, moms and dads. Finish strong, grandmas and grandpas. I appreciate the Read Day clan. Finish strong. They're worth it. They're worth every bit of it. And I'm going to tell you, as when we get to heaven, we can go all together and say, it was blessed to be in the house of God with our children. Let's all stand together.